Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joydy Nader. I'm a creativity coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Patricia Love back as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about her book, Seen and Unheard, and how to flip I can't into I can do it. Welcome, Patricia.
Well, thanks for having me. I just love joining you and so excited to be back again. This is getting to be routine. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I had so much fun talking with you on the – actually, I've had you on three times, I just realized, because I had you on in September 2020, February 2021, and then again – in April 2021, after your book had come out. So, yeah.
Yes.
Just...
So I'm excited to be here because I love sharing my music, you might say, you know, because I also believe that every one of us has a song in us, and it's just whether or not which song we want to play for the day.
Yeah, I actually believe we have more than one song, so you're right. So which song for the day?
Exactly. A lot of my songs is... James Brown, I Feel Good. So that one comes up a lot for me because when I get up, it just gets me going. It gets me rocking. And when you start going and rocking, your mindset gets better and your confidence gets better. And, you know, and that's why the way I'm truly liking to live my life these days is, you know, listening to the music and getting up and dancing like we just mentioned before the show went on.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a really good point, too. What music we choose to listen to can make a difference in whether we start our day with a positive mindset or not.
Oh, absolutely. You know, what's interesting is that music itself, you know, how many times have you listened, or a song comes on the radio that reminds you of some kind of, it's either a good thing or it could have been like a heartbreak, you know,
mm-hmm.
or something. And it's things that you may have never thought of for years. And a song comes on and it's like, whoa. You know, the person 30 years ago comes into your mind, and it could be either a good thing or a bad thing, and it can tell you how you're feeling, or it starts your day sometimes. So it's interesting how music can really, you know, make or break your day in a lot of ways.
So true. You know, and it's funny when you said that about songs that come up from the past, and especially how you feel about the songs. I started thinking about back when I was working in the record stores, going to junior college, and listening to Linda Ronstadt singing, How Can I Be Loved?
I totally get it.
And I'm thinking, you know, when you're listening to that over and over again, I mean, that's not exactly going to help you be happier or have a positive mindset. She has
right.
a gorgeous
not
voice, and I love her singing. But
yeah,
you know, there's so many
it's not
songs.
Usually a feel-good song.
Yeah, there's so many songs from back then and now, actually, where people are complaining about something going wrong, you know?
it's true. But you also, we talked about it earlier on another broadcast, is it's what we choose to do. And if we, you know, we can also turn that off. We also have a choice to switch the radio station if we don't want to go there. Either that or enjoy it, appreciate the feeling, and then
mm-hmm.
move on. You know, because I also believe that people, during this time of COVID and all stuff, is that, you know, life is a struggle, right? But it's also important to kind of fall into that feeling of struggle sometimes and allow yourself to acknowledge those emotions. And then
mm-hmm.
once you've got there and they go, but don't, you know, you don't stay in them a long time, but then say, okay, thank you for that emotion. I get it. I'm going to move on now.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, that brings up a point that I think is really important one too about having a positive mindset is that a lot of people say, oh, Margo, you're so positive, you know, and how, you know, some people think that positive means that you don't see that there's any negative in the world or you don't ever feel down. And that's not true. I mean, it's just that I choose to try and focus on what's in my circle of control, which is what I choose to focus on and what I choose to believe and think about and to do and, you know, what I actually can do to make it as good as it possibly can be that day. But, no, a friend of mine had said, and this is true also, it's a lot of work sometimes to have a positive outlook all the time. Because
Yeah, I want to just, that's a great point you're making, and I don't want to forget it because, you know, a lot of times when you're talking on the broadcast or you're interviewing different people and the such, everybody thinks that that person, oh, they're so positive, they have a great mindset, you know, their life is wonderful, and but in reality, we face the same struggles every single day, and sometimes it's waking up and going, God, I just really like to stay in bed all today. I really don't want to do anything because I'm just not feeling it. And we all have that. And you know what? It's okay to not feel okay sometimes. And because I think there's a point where everybody says, oh, my God, you feel like you have to be upbeat all the time. And in reality, that's not human. That's perfection. It doesn't happen. And so it's being vulnerable and allowing you to understand those feelings. And I think that that's how you grow, is understanding those negative feelings that you might feel in that morning and addressing them. Because what happens, I don't know if you do this, but I compartmentalize many, many things during my life because I was just trying to show up always, you know, on the high. But instead, I needed to take that mask off and really, you know, acknowledge where and what I felt at that moment and then move on and the such. So I think it's being more real when we're saying, I don't feel good every day. You know?
No, and I don't either. I have my moments, definitely have my moments. And, you know, it's funny because people will say that to my husband, is she like that all the time? And the thing is that most of the time, yeah, I'm pretty up, but I have my moments, you know, and there's times when my husband and son have said, what would people think if they could see Miss Positive right now?
You know, it's funny you say that, Margo, because I get the same thing. And I'm like, but I can't be positive every second. You know, I might have stubbed my toe or, you know, I may have got a bad newsletter in the mail. You know, I have the right to be vulnerable. And, you know, but it is hard for other people to see that. And so I guess these days I'm really, you know, want to express to people that being up and energetic is good, but it is a choice, and it also can be a struggle. But, you know, as we do it more and more every single day, it becomes more of a habit. So when I do get triggered into a negative thought or the such, I may stay in that negative thought for maybe 5 minutes or so, and then I'll go, okay, that's it. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do something positive. I'm going to maybe take a walk. I'm going to try and readjust my feelings in my mind or turn on I feel good song, and that will change my mood. So then it's really learning and understanding the tools of how to get out of that negative feeling, which we all get, and I emphasize that we all go there. It's just how do we move forward as much as we can, because, you know, we all struggle. Life is a beautiful struggle.
You know, it's interesting when you were saying that. One of the things that came to mind for me is during the holidays, our son was up visiting. Excuse me. He's 32 now. I can't believe how old he's gotten. Anyway, but we were playing the game Sorry. You probably remember the game Sorry, right?
I do.
Yeah, well, we hadn't played it for a long time, but we wanted something that we could play. And while we were watching Christmas movies or listening to Christmas music and that sort of thing. So we had the game out, and we were playing it a lot, the three of us. And one of the things that's really interesting with that game is that it's like, okay, all of a sudden you have to go back four spaces, or you get to trade places with somebody on the board or whatever.
Oh,
so,
right,
I mean, it's
right.
Like it goes back and forth, in other words, so many times during the game that you start realizing, I don't need to feel horrible about that I'm losing because I might still be the winner. And I think that life is kind of like that. Life is kind of
I think life is like that. Yeah, I think life is like that. And it's interesting that the name of that game is called Sorry, and because we're always saying, oh, I'm sorry, I stepped back two steps or whatever. But it's very normal to gain three steps and go back two steps, you know, or even sometimes we go back 3.5 steps, you know, but you know, as long as we acknowledge it, and I say this word a lot because it's really acknowledging and understanding our feelings that will actually push us forward. It's when we just don't acknowledge those feelings that we kind of can wallow in them for a really long time because we're not acknowledging them and mm-hmm. feeling them, and then we can move forward. So I say that in that it's normal to take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back sometimes. And I always tell people, don't overwhelm yourself with trying to go 10 steps forward. You know, like in the game, sorry, like, okay, I got to get. Because you can still win. You may get there a little slower, but you're still moving forward, even though you take a step or two back. You learn something. You know, you
probably
learn
strategy,
right?
Yeah, it's sort of like
the
tortoise and the hare story, you know.
Exactly. You know, it's like the ant. Remember the rubber tree plant song? Do you remember that one?
The what?
The ant. The rubber tree plant ant.
Oh, yeah.
We're going way back now with Frank Sinatra, but, you know, it was the ant who moved the rubber tree plant, you know, and, it was, you know, so I always think of that one also. It's like, whoops, there goes another one. And so sometimes things seem impossible and they're really bad, but in reality, if you just say, wait a minute, I took a couple steps forward and maybe I took a step back, but that's okay. Guess what? I'm human. I'm flawed. I'm not perfect. And I think people really need to understand that even more so, which it'll help push them forward. And when they start realizing they don't have to be perfect, because there's no way that anybody can be perfect. There is no perfection. And when you strive to be perfect, you're going to be very disappointed by not getting there.
Yeah, perfection, I had heard, and you probably heard this too years ago, that perfection equals paralysis. And it's really
mm-hmm.
true, because it's like whenever you think you need to do something perfectly, you're not willing to try to do something new. Because if you're going to do something new, you're not going to do it perfectly at first, maybe not even ever, but you can still have a whole lot of fun learning and doing.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that we need to change the, you know, how we look at perfection as doing the best you can, stepping forward
yeah.
and doing the best you can, and then maybe even pushing that extra 1%. You know, sometimes there's a rule that says, you know, just try that extra 1%. Doesn't have to be 100%, but just try that, and then maybe you push that, and maybe you'll push another 1%. So it's really just realizing doing the best you can, and then maybe pushing it an extra percentage, you know, when you feel like you've gotten there. You know what I mean? And just,
I think
if we can look at things differently. And I go back, and I'm sure I've mentioned this quote to you before with Wayne Dyer. I think it was Wayne Dyer. If you change the way you look at things, things you look at change. And if we can look at things differently on how we feel about words or how we feel about life or how we feel about moving forward, you might look at things from a different perspective and go, wait a minute, I can see things more clearly from this side than the other side. It's like looking at a flower downward and looking at all the beautiful petals. But if you never look at from the ground up, you never see how it grows.
Right. You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that quote, because that's always been one of my favorite quotes by him as well. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And it's funny because lately it's like I've almost been feeling it and seeing it in a whole and hearing it in a whole different way, where it's even more true,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it really is so true that when you change the way you look at things, and that can mean the way you think about them, the way you talk about them,
mm-hmm.
the words you use, all of those things.
It's amazing
totally
when you
change.
When you take that sentence, because I remember when I first, you know, heard that, and I'm like, kind of cocked my head a little bit, like, okay, I get it, but I didn't really get it till I really started looking and taking apart each word in some ways,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
it was like, wow, this really goes with just about everything. Like, for instance, if I have a situation or
mm-hmm.
A problem, I say, okay, wait a minute, let me try to look at this from a different side, of a different perspective, and maybe you bumped your head up against somebody else and you know didn't weren't agreeing with them or whatever, but maybe you were also looking at yourself and you were stuck in your own pigeonhole. So maybe if you try to look at things from other sides, you know, from the other side of what people are thinking, nothing's just to change your mind, but you might be able to be less judgmental. You know?
Right.
So it's an interesting
right.
fact that, you know, if we look at things differently, even when we're talking to people because we don't agree with them, it's like agreeing to disagree,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot out there right now, right? And, you know, mm-hmm. never saying that you have to change the way you think, that, you know, but you may understand it, and you might have less stress because of it, and you can, you know, because everybody's going to have different opinions on everything in life just about.
Well, and, you know, that brings up, there's, excuse me, 7 C's that I think when I first talked to you before, I only had 5 of them, but now I've got 7. And there's connection, communication, curiosity, creativity, collaboration, celebration, and contribution. And they're all important because, you know, curiosity, for example, though, helps you go say, why are these people, why do they maybe feel this way? Maybe it's because of the mm-hmm. way they've been brought up and what mm-hmm. they've been taught. Can I learn from it? And is there maybe something that would be helpful to me instead of just automatically not seeing it as being okay just because it's different from you? So
exactly. Yeah. That's a beautiful way of saying it and thinking about it, and that goes with anything. And it's also it really when you kind of go down that route of understanding that everybody has a story and maybe they just look at things differently, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
The stress that you relieve from your body is amazing because you're not judging. You're just growing. Like, okay, all right, well, that's the way they think of things, and I think of things a little differently, but that's okay too. And it's amazing how it de-stresses your body because you feel so much more at peace rather than trying to argue everything all the time because you want to be right. You know, not everybody's right or wrong sometimes. It just is.
Yeah, and there's a lot of times, well, that gets to creativity, too. And to be creative and to be your most creative self, you have to realize that there's usually, I mean, other than maybe in math or something like that, mm-hmm. there are a lot of different ways to look at things and to do things. And the more you can be open to that fact, the more you can realize that, I should be curious about why this person thinks that, or what would happen if I try this, or what if we do that? So,
right. Yeah, it opens up a whole plethora of all kinds of great things of growth. And just thinking about it and talking about it, whether or not, you know, a decision is ever made on anything, it's the act of actually growing and listening. And I think that's a key, is listening to other people. And then you grow from that, whether you agree with them or not. So it's just always being curious and understanding and learning. And because, you know, don't forget, even in math, there's all different ways sometimes to get to the same result.
True.
You know, because sometimes it's, you know, on the computer, some people use an albatross or whatever they call those back in the day, you know, doing the same thing. And sometimes you get to the same place. But there's sometimes a lot of argument that, well, no, you should do it this way. I have my husband at the time, it was like, he would always like to tell me to do a way of doing things, but yet I like mm-hmm. to do things differently to get to the same result. Either both are correct, but, you know, until you stop to think about it, like, oh, wait a minute, I guess I could have gone that way too, but I want to go my way. And so it works both ways, and then you understand that, you know, there can be different sides of every story and different ways to get to certain things.
Right.
It's called growing. Yeah. I like to believe it's growing and having my mind get bigger and growing, because expanding, because when we can expand the mind with words and thoughts and lack of judgment and being curious about things and being creative, that's how you live longer, I believe. I believe that that's really puts something in our mind that we live longer and our brain stays, you know, stays better longer, you might say.
And, you know, what you said is so true. In my Toastmasters club that I've been in for a long, long time, we meet on Wednesday nights on Zoom since the pandemic started. But we have, get this, our oldest member is 100 years old.
Wow.
And, yeah, and he'll be 101 on April 1st. And he is amazing. And a lot of it has to do with the connection and then practicing communication and evaluation and giving speeches and doing all that. It's causing him to live longer. And he's curious. He's super curious about things. I think that's mm-hmm. part of what keeps you young is being curious. So,
and learning,
you know.
And I think that goes together with curiosity is learning.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
Learning about things and being curious about, like, how does that work or how does this work, you know, and then maybe looking things up in either the old encyclopedias or nowadays Googling it or whatever you might want to
right.
do. And just finding out more information. And it's just the more information we have it creates new neural, you know, lines in our brain, which expands our thoughts. And
right.
My mother is the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is so true. And I've always been loved to learn and have always wanted to be a lifelong learner, like my favorite mentors and heroes and teachers and guides have said they want to do. And you're right. I mean, it's like it keeps your mind going. I mean, if you didn't learn anything new, how would you keep your mind growing? But,
they say be open to choosing to change. And when I use that word change, it means like growing. So choosing to change, otherwise you stay the same. And why, you know, if you're not changing and growing and staying, and you're only staying the same, that's not living. At least that's how I look at it. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Wow. The time goes by so fast. And I want to talk about the three things that we talked about before, because they're so important, that I choose to, and I get to. And
mm-hmm.
I've had those on some 3x5 cards next to where I read in the morning and the afternoon and evening, and seeing that for a long time. And I love how it makes me feel. And then I put, we can, we choose to, we get to, and you can, you choose to, you get to. And I am so thankful that you brought that up to me before. And so I'd like you to talk to us a little bit about how people can flip their I can't do it to
mm-hmm.
I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you basically said it when you were just talking a bit there, that it gives you a different feeling. And the words we choose to use really can inspire us or deflate us. For instance, when you think about it and you say something like, oh, I can't do that, there's actually people kind of say it in that way, like, oh, it's almost like they do like a sigh, like, oh, I can't
mm-hmm.
do that. Or like, oh, I have to do that, or I got to do that, you know. And it's a feeling in your body that actually depresses you. And so when I started to understand and look into words more and how they make us feel, and it's not so much being the positive person all the time, because you can be happy and smiley and still say, I can't do that or whatever, and still have that energy. But when
mm-hmm.
you start taking words and turning them around like you have and saying, I get to go to the store now,
mm-hmm.
I get to do my laundry. I get to write this paperwork. I get to go to school. Because, again, some people don't get to do that. It then becomes more of a privilege and a treat because you're choosing to do that. Where if you're saying, I have to, or I got to, or, you know, I'm not feeling it, you almost feel like it's a requirement. And nobody likes to feel that things are required. They don't want to feel like they're made to do something. So
mm-hmm.
by flipping that script, and turning those into I get to, even just saying it, it has a much higher vibration in your body, right? I get to. I choose to go to work today. I choose to not eat that chocolate chip cookie today, you know? And it's better than, oh, I'm not going to eat that cookie because it'll make me fat, you know? You know, it's different ways of using the words. But when you say, that means you're in control. When you say I
right.
get to, then you're in control of what you're doing in your life. And this is what means people and women and men and genders, and no matter who you are, people
mm-hmm.
just want to feel like they're in control. When you use those other words, you're not giving yourself control at all. You're actually giving everybody else the control or the thing that you're talking about. You're giving that chocolate chip cookie control. But in reality,
mm-hmm.
if you said, I get to not eat that today because I don't feel like doing it, it's a difference. And it's like I choose or I can. So I encourage all people listening that, you know, take a look at your verbiage, take a look at your words, and be intentional about what you say. And those three sentences you even mentioned, I get to, I choose to, I can, just by keeping those in your on your brain or on the stool next to your bed or on a post note, and you keep looking at them, what happens? They become start becoming a habit because you actually like the feeling it gives you. And you start actually
right.
realizing that it's a good feeling. Because you start sensing, gosh, it makes me feel good when I say that. Because doesn't that make you feel good when you say it?
Yes.
Yeah. And when you don't say it, you actually catch yourself. Sometimes when you, because sometimes, you know, like again, we go three steps forward, one step back, and we'll suddenly say, oh, I can't do that. You'll start catching yourself like, wait a minute, that didn't feel good. You know, I'm choosing
mm-hmm.
not to do that. Because even if you want to choose not to, at least it's you're in control and it's your choice.
Right, exactly. And the difference, like you were saying, and the difference in how you feel when you say I can versus I can't, and then mm-hmm. I choose to versus I should. Should's a word
mm-hmm.
that I don't even use anymore, that Louise Hay had always said she thinks we should delete it.
Well, should never happen. Yeah, should never really happen.
No, well, and it's don't should on me.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't even should on yourself or anyone else. But, yeah, I choose to, and then I get to. You're right. I mean, it's so totally different than I have to. I have to go to the store, or I have to do
yeah.
this, or I have to unload the dishwasher.
Yeah, it makes you feel
I
like
get
you're
to.
In balance.
I get to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost feels like you're in chains when you say those other words. Like, oh, my God, I can't do this, or I have to do this. But you've already started yourself off with a negative.
Right.
And so it usually doesn't end well, you know, whereas you're choosing to do something or I get to do something. It usually ends a lot better in a happy thing because I got to go to the store today and I get to buy food that, you know, maybe other people aren't able to do that because they can't, you know, they don't have that option. I do. Or I get to go to work today because how many people say, oh, my God, I got to go to work today.
Yeah.
It's just not a good feeling. So choose your words wisely. Then when you start doing that, you're going to see a huge change in yourself. It actually is almost life-changing.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, as positive as I am most of the time, having that 3x5 card there where I see it often that says, I can, ... I choose to, ... I get to, ... It reminds me, oh, yeah, I can.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to. I get to. So
mm-hmm.
thank you for
yeah.
for telling me about that last year, Patricia. I really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, we all need reminders. You know, again, we're human.
Oh, totally.
We're physically flawed, and we all need reminders. As much as I'd like to think I can keep everything in my head, you know, I actually, it's smart sometimes to put those little post notes into places you know, that maybe you pull open a drawer sometime and see
mm-hmm.
it pops up out of the blue or in a pocket or in the refrigerator sometimes. And they pop up at the best of times, typically. And they're both like, that's right. I'm going to remind myself. Because what you're trying to do is really create a new habit. And once you get that habit going, you don't really want to go back too much. And if you do slip, you feel the trigger and you go forward again.
Yeah. We only have about a little over a minute left. So first of all, I want everybody to share the show and also to go to your website, patricialove.com, and take a look at what you've got there as a coach and also for your book, which we didn't talk about very much, but I like to think of it as seen and heard because so many
there
of us felt unheard.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's one of the reasons that I wrote it. I was seen and unheard, but I think all women need to be seen and heard. So I think it's a purpose that I'm constantly wanting to talk about, you know, just like this. But it's also about positivity and chance and choosing and, you know, choosing what you do. So it's all very important.
Yeah. And the only thing I would change about that is that men need it, too. I'm around a lot of men,
yeah,
and
men
they need it too.
Need it. Yeah, we all genders need it. That is so true. All genders need it. And in fact, I always like to believe that if men would be a little bit more helpful and then or feel that they can step forward and be seen and heard too and work together with us, with women and all genders and different things, the world would be a better place because we'd all be talking about it.
True. And, you know, the thing is, the bottom line is we're all more the same than we are different, whether we're men or women or where we came from. So
we all have feelings. We are all born. We all have feelings. We're all vulnerable. We all have a story. And then we all move on to the next world. So we all have a lot in common.
Yeah. Thank you for being back on my show. We've run out of time, but I'm so happy to have you back on the show. And thank you for all of the ways that you live your music, Patricia, and all the ways that you encourage your clients and your readers to live their music as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy it's always a beautiful song when I'm on with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, everyone out there, share the show and live your music. Bye for now.